Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July the 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
South African customs officials have intercepted 267 kilograms of ivory shipped from Zimbabwe en route to Vietnam worth $330,000.
It doesn't shock me, it doesn't surprise me, because there are the things that people have been saying for years, that, you know, there's some VIPs involved.
President Robert Mugabe is in South Africa for a Southern African Development Community Troika meeting on the political crisis in the Kingdom of Lesotho.
President Mugabe has attempted to attend pretty much every event there is that's being done by the AU and SADC, but we haven't seen any major achievement.
And problems continue to cripple the Warriors ahead of the crucial Comoro game on Sunday.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
South African customs officials at Oliver Tambo International Airport say today they intercepted 267 kilograms of ivory shipped from Zimbabwe en route to Vietnam worth $330,000. In a statement, the South African Customs Service said their officials discovered uncleared ivory tusks among shredded papers in some sealed boxes at the airport. Elephants are under threat from poachers in Zimbabwe, where the population has plummeted in wildlife sanctuaries and hunting reserves that are home to most of the animals, according to a conservation group. In 2013, Zimbabwe suffered one of its worst wildlife carnage after 300 elephants and several other animals were killed by cyanide poisoning in Hwange National Park. Elephant heads have been almost decimated in some parts of East and Central Africa. Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the interception in South Africa is key in ending the smuggling business.
That is the role of all the airports, to combat illicit trade in the ivory and to ensure that wherever such contraband is found, coming to South African authorities for that. And I'm sure shared information on where they're coming from.
We are happy that they've been able to intercept the contraband, and we'll ensure that we crack on those who are involved, and we will be sharing the information with South Africans to find out exactly where they're destined to and who was behind it.
Have they officially communicated with Harare?
No, that's why I said the information you have is way ahead of what we've had so far. But normally, it's within the agency. They will discuss with their colleagues and we'll be able to deal with that situation.
But would you consider this to be a problem? Does Zimbabwe have enough manpower?
It's a problem. It's a big problem, unfortunately. And the trafficking of elephants, ivory, is a big problem. We will not entertain that nonsense. And we will also leave no stone unturned in our effort to find out the perpetrators of the crime.
That was Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Blessing also reached the chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, Johnny Rodriguez, who blamed government officials of engaging in poaching activities.
You know, it doesn't shock me, it doesn't surprise me, because there are the things that people have been saying for years, that, you know, there's some VIPs involved, that they behind majority of the ivory trafficking that's going on in Zimbabwe. And you must have heard the story of Rory Young, who actually disclosed that the CIO were behind a lot of the culling of elephants and removing the ivory. Now, it doesn't shock me that it is going through the same system. The whole system is corrupt. So it doesn't shock me that that amount of ivory actually going out through the airport, because the whole system stinks.
Is there any way to stop this poaching?
Yeah, there is. You know, if there's a will from the top, then it'll be done. But there's no will. Nobody's got the will to stop it because everybody, you know, the economy has collapsed. Zimbabwe's got no money. It's like they're doing now. You know, they owe this the leathery place 3-point-something million for the army boots and all that, and they exporting the elephants are leaving here on Sunday. There's 27 of them going to Chinlong in China.
That was Johnny Rodriguez, chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Ivory ornaments are coveted in Asian countries like Vietnam, Thailand, and China, and activists say Africa's wild elephants are being pushed to extinction by the trade. Elephant tusks and other body parts are also used for traditional medicine. Last month, French customs officials intercepted 136 kilograms of ivory from the Democratic Republic of Congo, also bound for Vietnam.
President Robert Mugabe is in South Africa for a Southern African Development Community TROIKA meeting on the political crisis in the Kingdom of Lesotho. The meeting was convened following the assassination of former Lesotho Defense Force Commander Maparanko Mahau last week, which has escalated tensions in the volatile kingdom. The state-owned ZBC says, as a senior statesman in the region, Mr. Mugabe is expected to play a key role in the resolution of the crisis. Mr. Mugabe is both chairman of the SADC and the African Union. Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo asked political analyst Nkululeko Siwanda how he would rate his performance so far.
I think we haven't had a clear chance to have his performance be rated at all. I think what we've seen is that President Mugabe has attempted to attend pretty much every event there is that's being done by the AU and SADC. But we haven't seen any major achievements coming up as a result of that, of his chairperson. We do know, though, that there are few Africans who are ideologically inclined to Mugabe, who are excited about his leadership, but we haven't seen anything tangible in terms of any changes taking place in the continent or the continent moving forward, even just at an intellectual level.
Is there any legacy that Mr. Mugabe will leave when he exits as chairman of both the African Union and SADC?
It is clear, and I think you're right with this question, it is clear that President Mugabe would like to create a living legacy, and it would seem as though he is... He thinks that this is his last opportunity to build such a legacy. But certainly it hasn't been built just yet, and I think time is running out very quickly. Perhaps there is an opportunity for us to see something of President Mugabe in the matter, in the Lesotho question, and how he helps Zuma and Ramaphosa, who's the mediator there, to settle things down. However, outside the outcome of the current of the meeting that is attending now, there isn't anything that he has done that's been successful or laudable.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Siwanda on the line from England with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo.
All roads lead to the inaugural Zimbabwe Fashion Week in Birmingham, United Kingdom, tomorrow, when some of the country's top designers will showcase their talent at an event featuring celebrity designer Farai Simoyi. Event organizer and designer Chietsa Dawn Ziyambe tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye she hopes this will give Zimbabwean designers the recognition they deserve so that they can excel in their careers.
Zimbabwe Fashion Week is a platform that I created to allow Zimbabwean designers to showcase their work to the UK and the world, basically. There's a lot of talent that Zimbabweans have, but we're just too shy or we don't make enough noise for people to take notice. So I just thought I'd create a platform whereby, you know, we'd make as much noise as possible, have a lot of people pay attention and see what we have to offer.
When does it start and how many designers do you have?
It will start tomorrow, the 4th of July, at 12 o'clock midday, and it will take us right through to 12 midnight. It's a 12 hours of fashion, So we are not doing it over a week, as the name suggests. It's just a taster of what's to come. We've got 9 designers, so we've got a mixture of different sort of styles as well. So it's going to be interesting.
What made you think of coming up with this idea?
As a designer myself, I design lingerie, and I realized it's such a competitive world out there, very cutthroat as well. And if you don't make enough noise, or you don't get your products out there as loud or as you can, it's difficult for people to take notice. So I thought, well, surely I can't be the only one going through this and having such frustrations, because it does take a long time to develop a brand or a product. It really does. So the frustrations of developing one and then not being able to market it or to sell it or to have people take note or notice of what you're doing, it can be quite disheartening. So I just thought, no, there must be a way. So I decided to do this so that a lot of us designers can come together and we showcase this to people.
That was Chiedza Dawn Ziyambe, organizer of the Zimbabwe Fashion Week, speaking with Studio 7 from the United Kingdom. Senators say they are currently debating a motion that calls for stiffer sentences for rapists and those involved in early child marriages, which they say can be achieved through aligning laws with the new constitution, which stipulates that children can only get married or consent to sex after the age of 18. Bulawayo Senator Matson Hlalo of the MDCT says all senators are in agreement with the motion, and their ZANU-PF counterparts insist that Prosecutor General Johannes Thomana was recently misquoted on suggestions that children below the age of 12 can consent to sex.
We are all in agreement that this needs to be speeded up so that all what we are reading about in the newspapers of abuse for underage girls must stop forthwith. And this now has taken a national, stage in terms of debate inside and outside the August House.
What exactly prompted this debate? Was it about the Constitution, or was it about the recent utterances that were attributed to Mr. Thoman?
No, I think it could just have been something which was, we've been seized with this topic for a long time in the August House. And this is how Senator Sylvia also felt that she should do something and put a motion which is presently on the floor in the Senate. So the whole nation is disturbed by what is happening to our girl children, you know, whom we always read in the newspapers having been abused, some as young as 2 years. So we feel that this legislation should be put in place so that it corrects, it puts this topic, you know, to rest, so that everyone will then be knowing what they should expect when they cross this law.
That was Bulawayo Senator Matson Hlalo of the MDCT on the line from Bulawayo.
Prominent Bulawayo lawyer and former president of the Law Society of Zimbabwe, James Joseph, who died Sunday, is expected to be laid to rest tomorrow at Lady Stanley Cemetery in Bulawayo. The 2012 Human Rights Lawyer of the Year was a partner at Moyo, Majabu and Nyoni Legal Practitioners, and also a trustee of the Legal Resources Foundation. In a statement released today, the family of Jumbo, as he was affectionately known, said a church service will be held in the morning at the Lady of Lords Catholic Church in Kulumane. Lawyer and friend Josephat Chuma tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the nation has lost a brilliant legal mind.
I would describe him as a leader par excellence, a leader who saw leadership qualities from others, the potential in them, nursed them, and produced the best out of them. And he never wanted to claim glory for any achievement that he made. He was a person who had a high sense of justice. He was a person of the people. And this is exemplified by time when he was president of the Law Society, he transformed the Law Society to an efficient, accountable, and transparent society that we enjoy now. And he transformed the Law Society to be an organization that is internationally recognized and acceptable and yet associating with. And I think he was a person at family level. He loved his family. He cared for his family. Yeah, and this is what I would say.
Any burial arrangements as yet?
In fact, he will be buried tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning. People should be seated in church. We will have the speeches from 8 up to around 9:30. Thereafter, there will be the mass. From there, we will go to Lady Stanley, where he will rest.
Where are mourners gathered at the moment?
They are gathered at his house, 6 Bucknell Road, Khumalo. 6 Bucknell Road, Khumalo. That's where mourners are gathered. They are gathered, as you see.
That was lawyer Joseph Chuma speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans under the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders get down to work in USA.
And it never rains but pours for the Zimbabwe national team, the Warriors.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A poll of Greeks likely to vote in Sunday's referendum on a European bailout proposal indicates they are nearly evenly divided between an up or down vote. Greece is cut off from further European aid after failing Tuesday to meet a midnight deadline for repaying $1.8 billion owed to the International Monetary Fund.
Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak is dismissing as political sabotage reports that he received over $700 million from a government-owned investment fund.
A solar-powered Swiss aeroplane is scheduled to touch down in Hawaii Friday after a record-breaking flight across the Pacific Ocean, the riskiest leg of its 35,000-kilometer trip around the world without a drop of fuel.
The United States says it is suspending some security assistance programs to Burundi because of abuses committed by police during political protests and the government's decision to proceed with what the U.S. says were flawed parliamentary elections.
And the United States has condemned Thursday's ambush on a convoy of U.N. peacekeepers in Mali, in which 6 people were killed and 5 more were wounded.
The 2015 Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative ended its second week in the United States today with 500 fellows scattered around the country at their respective colleges and universities. Among them are the 30 Zimbabweans selected for the program. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to 3 of the yearly fellows, Napoleon Nyani, Munyara Zidodo, and Tunodiwa Zambe Makoni, who are giving us an update on what's happening at Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia. Makoni relates to Tatenda that what he is experiencing right now.
Well, it's been pretty awesome, definitely more than expected. We're told that Atlanta is an awesome place to be, and we've been wowed since day one. The guys here at Clark Atlanta have been very, very good at taking care of us.
And what has been the highlight for you?
Well, for me, I guess I've got 2 highlights, 1 passive, 1 literal. The first one would be we were at our actual welcome reception with the mayor of Atlanta. And the fact that it was in this very creative studio, we got to meet all these creative people. And it just the quality and the caliber of the people that were there, what we heard was absolutely amazing. And then the second thing was on the way back to where we're staying, drove past a building, and it had the Cartoon Network sign. So for me personally, I was like, I'm in the city where they have Cartoon Network.
And also with you there in Atlanta is Napoleon Nyani. Napoleon, tell me how your experience has been.
What's up, Tazinda? Well, Atlanta's been fantastic. It's been a great experience. The different cultures that you experience here, some of the things that we take for granted when we're at home, and you come here and, you know, even the difference in language. Here you say, I want some water. Someone is like, excuse me, what? You're like, I want some water. And they're expecting you to say water. I'm like, nah, it's water. Anyway, so some of those different, those nuances in the cultural and language differences are quite interesting. Also, just the people being able to interact with real American people and understanding as well some of the hustles that the African American goes through in the USA, and actually realizing that it's real, you know.
And for you, what has been the highlight in what you guys have experienced?
I think the highlight for me has been definitely meeting the creatives. Tino mentioned the welcome reception where we managed to meet filmmakers, musicians, music producers. That was a fantastic introduction to Atlanta, and it still is a highlight up until now. I think another one has been for me as a radio presenter, being able to work with the local radio station here, WDLK. It's the radio station that they have, a jazz station right here at Clark Atlanta University. Also going to get the opportunity to present a radio show.
And last but not least is Munyaradzi Dodo, who is also there at Clark Atlanta with you guys. Munyaradzi, tell me about your experience.
It's been a wonderful experience. I'm actually enjoying seeing a whole lot of black people in corridors of power who are doing successful things. The mayor is black, the CEO of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the world's largest airport, black guys who are at Coca-Cola, TNT, all these black people. It's nice to see African-Americans who are doing exceptionally well, who are not just, you know, your typical musicians who you see on TV. These are like real people in business doing incredible things for their community. I'm really enjoying seeing that.
What's been your highlight while you have been there?
I think for me, there have been two pivotal moments. One is connecting with the representatives from different countries who are here at Clark Atlanta. Like, there's 25 of us from 17 different countries. So connecting with them and finding out that, you know what, as Africans, we actually have the same problems. In some respect, Africa is a country, and in some respect, it's not. But, you know, the challenges that we have in our countries are generally the same, and they border around leadership, they border around economics. So our solutions will generally be the same. So it was interesting to make that observation for me. And then the second highlight for me was going to the World Affairs Atlanta event, where the young people called the CEO of Hartsfield-Jackson. And I found that interesting because they were very engaged in the economics of their city. For me, that was very inspiring because I think as a young Zimbabwean, sometimes I tend to be aloof in terms of what's happening economically in my country. And I was inspired by those young people.
So, guys, I want to thank you, as usual, for giving us an update on your experience at Clark Atlanta University. It's always appreciated.
No problem. Happy to talk to Voice of America. We're loving you guys and what you're doing. And hopefully we'll keep talking to you a bit later as we go through this.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah.
Those were three fellows, Napoleon Nyani, Munyaradzi Dodo, and Tunudiwa Zambe Makoni, who are part of the 2015 Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative set up by U.S. President Barack Obama.
The Women of Dominion Conference, which is being held in Cincinnati, Ohio, continued today following the official opening yesterday. The conference, which brings together thousands of Zimbabwean women living in the United States through activities to spiritually and socially empower and equip Zimbabwean women living in the diaspora community, is in its fourth year running, with the numbers of women signing up from other countries to attend rising. Praxedes Jeremiah is attending the conference, which is being held under the theme, Ebenezer, Thus Far the Lord Has Brought Us. She speaks with organizer Margaret Chidemo, who talks about the benefits to those attending.
The women in Cincinnati agreed that, you know, we can host this because we realized we needed this group of women to come and empower us and to come and give us the good word of God, and it happened. And our theme, Ebenezer, was chosen because, you know, we've come very far away so that we can be women and who are helping each other to grow in a Christian way and to empower other women. And these women of Dominion has changed most of people's life, especially mine, because I now see life differently. And I have now to realize that we are so many Zimbabwean women who have the same purpose, the same agenda, we want to grow up as Christians and who wants to follow God and, you know, just want to teach each other and how to live life.
Have you seen it grow over the past 3 years that you've been attending?
Yes, it is growing. Because each year, this is my third one, which I'm attending. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing new people whom I never saw. So, which means people are going back. They just don't sit and not telling each other about Women of Dominion. So, I think as we, let's say in the next 4 years, I think we're going to be a big organization because people really understand what Women of Dominion is because, you know, we have a lot of, so many things we do.
That was Women of Dominion organizer Margaret Chidemo speaking with Praxitis Jeremiah in Cincinnati, Ohio, here in the United States.
And in our sports segment, problems continue to cripple the Warriors ahead of the crucial Comoro game on Sunday. Negotiations are still going on for Calisto Pasua to stay on as national soccer team coach after he threw in the towel yesterday, complaining bitterly about failure by the Zimbabwe Football Association, or ZIFA, to pay his outstanding salary and allowances amounting to thousands of dollars. Our reporter Michael Kariati has more from Harare.
Pasua's manager Gibson Mahaki told Studio 7 that negotiations are going on with the Sports and Recreation Commission, with chances being that Pasua will stay should the SRC guarantee the coach's salary. Mahaki said he is hoping that by this evening they would have struck a deal which would enable the coach to travel with the Warriors to the Comoros for the return leg of the African Nations Championship. Pasua did not report for duty today, and the team did not train due to the ongoing problem crippling the Zimbabwe Football Association. Pasua walked out after the Zimbabwe Football Association failed to pay his dues as promised by June 30. The Warriors' trip to the Comoros for that African Nations Championship encounter is hanging by a thread, as frantic efforts are still being made to ensure that they leave this evening. The last word that came through was that the Minister of Sports and Culture, Andrew Langer, was in a meeting with the Sports and Recreation Commission and the Zimbabwe Football Association to see how best they can resolve the crisis. Sources revealed that the meeting was centered on two possibilities, one of which was to convince Air Zimbabwe to ferry the players with the funds being paid later by Treasury. The other was for the Zimbabwe Football Association to convince the authorities in the Comoros to have the game played Sunday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the state of football in general in Zimbabwe and problems faced by Warriors ahead of the Comoro game on Sunday.
To join the discussion, text us at 001202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
The quest to showcase Zimbabwean culture through song and dance continues for Black Mfolosi, and one of the founding members of the group, Tome Kidube, told Studio 7 that their tour of Canada got underway yesterday on the 2nd of July in Fort Hill.
Sorry about that. Now to recap today's top stories.
South African customs officials have intercepted 267 kilograms of ivory shipped from Zimbabwe en route to Vietnam worth $330,000.
President Robert Mugabe is in South Africa for a Southern African Development Community Troika meeting on the political crisis in the Kingdom of Lesotho.
And problems continue to cripple the Warriors ahead of the crucial Comoro game on Saturday.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.